Well, welcome to Grace, everybody. Grateful to see each and every one of you. Thank you for those who are joining us online as well. And we're just glad that you took the time to come and to worship among us. We have a different kind of a service today. Very grateful for all who are new today. This is not our normal service schedule, but hopefully you'll be blessed through all that we're doing. We're going to be praying together. We're going to worship some more and also hear some words of testimony. And just really expect what God is going to do in this next season. As you may or may not know, we have been in this process of having a new lead pastor at Grace Church, and very grateful to say that Tim Meyer will start next week. He's going to start a new series, but yeah, excited for Tim and for Rachel and their family to get settled in. They've been spending some time already getting acclimated and involved, but just a very exciting time where we can look at and see, God, where have you worked in Grace Church? Where are you working? And what are you going to do? What can we expect? So it's a day of expectation, and I'm excited to journey along with you with it. Tim is going to be here next week starting a new series, and I heard from somebody who heard from someone else. They said, they made a statement, they said, I have actually an issue with the new lead pastor. I'm concerned because I realize, you know, he seems great, very qualified. He seemed like he did a great job preaching, but I haven't seen him since then. He hasn't preached once. I think that's probably not a great model to have your senior pastor never preach, and the person reminded them, oh, he hasn't started yet. So if you've been expecting, like, where is he? What is he doing? He has not started. There were a few things to take care of and wrap up at his other position with the national office and then to get acclimated and settled into Middleburg Heights. So we're super excited for them coming soon. And Tim really wanted to give maybe just a moment to even preface the Sunday today and just to give a word on expectation and what we have to look forward to. So let's hear from Tim right now before we get started.
Well, next week we will be able to worship in person, finally, together for the first time. Rachel and Jude and I are so excited to be with you, but I'm really grateful for what's happening today in the service. There's no better way to prepare for the next season of what God will do than in a posture of prayer and dependence and worship and expectation. Ultimately, Jesus is the head of his church, of the church and of Grace Church. And we know that anything that is good will be done because Jesus does it. We walk with him in dependence and in expectation. Hebrews 13 says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work today in this service. So we pray and worship in faith and expectation. In Mark 1, Jesus says, "The time is at hand. The kingdom of God is here." We are tempted to believe that there's other kingdoms that are gonna win, but no, the kingdom of God is at hand. We are in the presence of God today when we pray. And so this isn't just about future kingdom, although we will reign with him forever. It's also about the kingdom that is breaking through today as we pray, as we sing, as we unite together. So let's stay in that spirit of expectation, knowing that the God who promised will deliver, he'll see it through, and I can't wait to be with you in 1 week to worship together.
Amen. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can look at this verse. I want to take a look at Psalm 126, verse 3. It says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." As we enter into this journey of expectation, I want to take a look first at what has God done. So what are some things in the past that we see the faithfulness of the Lord as we look back? And we have a history here at Grace. I've been on staff here for 19 years. It seems like shorter than that. But 19 years, my family and I have been faithfully attending and serving at this church family, and Many of you will even exceed that number, and there are some long-standing folks in this room. But Grace started, if you don't know, in 1958 with a small group of people from Old Brooklyn that decided to gather together and to seek the Lord and to really try to be on mission together. And as they did that, in 1962, they hired their first pastor. So they did it on their own for a few years first, and then hired their first pastor. That was Donald Schaefer. If you know Jonathan Schaefer, who was our most recent senior pastor for 27 years, this is his father, who was on staff when I first came. And I had the privilege of being able to be mentored by Donald in my first years on staff. For several years, we would meet every month. And I remember him, he would tell lots of stories of the early days, you know. They had a very small group of people, and there were really hard times. And just challenging walking through as a small fledgling church began to grow. And there were groups of people who were very instrumental in helping Grace Church to move forward. And sometimes that's in our spheres of influence, we can make great impact, just even the words that we say. And Bob and Dorothy Purdy were two of those folks who were in that first gathering. And Dorothy went to be with the Lord 3 days ago, and she is reunited with her husband, Bob. And I remember Donald speaking so passionately about specifically this couple, that Grace Church may not even be where it is without just the way that they advocated for and the way that they leaned into the mission of Jesus in that time. So we're grateful for everything they have done. There's going to be a service here Tuesday, calling hours at 1 p.m., the service at 2 p.m. In this space in Middleburg Heights. But we're praying with the Purdy family, but just also celebrating a life of 102 years lived. So grateful for them and for many others. And as we look at what God has done in the past, we think about people like the Purdy's, and we think about people like you who have leaned in and stepped in, and we've seen thousands of baptisms. Thousands of baptisms. That is not a lot of churches can really say that. And we not that we boast, but we boast in what the Lord is doing. And we see, you know, people's lives transformed, people come to healing. There's been a lot we could talk about. But as we look back, we figure, you know, if God has done it before, we can expect that he'll do it again. He is faithful. And so all we need to do is continue to lean into him, continue to seek him. I remember Donald saying one time, he would have, especially when they had sort of explosive growth, he had a lot of people would come to him and say, what's your secret sauce? You know, what do you do well? You know, church leaders. And he'd say, we don't have any secret. We love people. And if God puts somebody in front of you, you minister to them. That's the secret. Like, just follow the Lord, follow his spirit. And I love that simplicity. And really, truly, it is that simple, that each and every person in this room has a sphere of influence. You have people you interact with. And if we could love the person that we're interacting with and really minister to them and see them as this is the mission God has for me right now in this moment, God will do great, amazing things in and through each and every one of us. So I'm excited for the future and expectant that that will continue. We've talked about Joshua 1:5. I want to go to that really quickly here. We talked about this in a series recently, and it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So this is where Joshua was receiving the mantle from Moses, and God was giving this to him and saying, don't be afraid. I'm going to continue to do this. I will be faithful in this. And so as we enter into a next chapter for our church family, our confidence for the future should be rooted in God's proven faithfulness in the past, in what he's done, and how he continues to work in and through each and every one of you. So I just want to take a moment to ask the question, where have you personally seen God's faithfulness in your life or in our church family? And how could remembering those moments really help us to be expectant about what is to come? So as we enter into a time of worship, I want to invite you to stand together. We're going to sing, and we sing in this song that God is moving in our midst, and he's working in this place. So we're going to sing that together and worship. Let's lift up our voices.
Never stop. so faithful all of our days. Let's praise him today for his goodness, his faithfulness. We sing, I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Seated. We're going to just spend a few minutes in prayer, reflecting on that question that Sam asked of where have we seen God at work in our lives? And can we just stop and pause for a minute and thank him for those things? I think that so often we rush through things and we move from one thing to the next without just pausing to say, God, where have you been at work? And how can I thank you for that? And so I'm going to lead us through a series of a few different prayer prompts and then just give a little bit of space for you to pray just quietly in your own hearts. The first one is this: where have you seen God at work in your life in the past year? And so I invite you to just bow your heads, kind of quietly sit and reflect, and thank God for whatever he shows you, wherever you've seen his faithfulness in the past year or so. And let's just thank him for that. And now let's take a moment to ask God, where have I seen your faithfulness in our church family in the past year? And let's just take a moment to thank him for that. And finally, where have you seen God's faithfulness in the world in this past year? We're often drawn to and kind of consumed by some of the negative news headlines because news networks love to focus on the negative things that sell a lot of news. But God is at work in mighty ways, and he's been doing so many things all around the world. And so let's just take a minute to reflect on that and to thank him for those things. Lord God, we are so, so grateful for the ways that you have worked in our lives. And whether we've had a really hard last year or we've had lots of amazing things happen, we recognize either way that we are desperately dependent on you. And that when we follow you, life is so much better. And when we follow our own ways, we tend to get into trouble. And so, God, thank you for your faithfulness when you draw us out of the difficult things or out of the messes that we make. And thank you for your faithfulness when you walk us through those things. And when you say, I'm not going to take this from your life right now, but I'm going to allow you to see my character and my faithfulness in it. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for how you've worked in our church family this past year, taking us through this major transition of saying goodbye to Jonathan and Mary, who we love so, so much, and launching them to the national office, and then going through the process of searching for a new lead pastor and the way that you brought Tim and Rachel, and that we look expectantly toward that. Thank you for just walking with us through this whole season. And thank you, God, for the ways you've been at work in the world, in big ways and in little ways. We're so grateful, and we love you. We give you all the glory for the things you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All my life you have been faithful. We just sang that. Just looking at the past and how the faithfulness of yesterday can give us expectation for the future. And so we want to take a moment now to just look at and see, where is God working today? I want to read a verse here from Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And I think we've seen evidence of that within the walls of Grace Church Middleburg Heights, within the walls of Grace Church Olmsted Falls, within the walls of Lorraine Correctional. We've seen evidence of where his truth is being proclaimed and people's lives are being transformed. We talked about the baptisms and the various other things, but we've seen evidence of these things happening. And if you even look at your bulletin, we didn't talk about the bulletin at all yet today, but we have a bulletin, we have a website, we have an app, we have all those opportunities, and that just points to a number of different things and opportunities that you can get involved with and you are involved in. And these are areas where we see the most fruit of what is happening at Grace. This is when you partner in the ministry with the Holy Spirit and have conversations. Maybe you're in a small group, or maybe you're really plugged into young adults, or you go to the Forever Young potlucks and you have these group of people that you interact with and you really can help sharpen one another. And I think that's where God is really moving within Grace Church right now. And I'm very excited and expectant to see where is he going to move in the future. And I want to also point to that we're a part of a global movement. We've talked a lot about that over the past months with Pastor Jonathan moving on to the national office. But what about the global church? What is happening? So I want to just rip off a few stats here from some research I did and just tell you a few things that are very encouraging. There are now about 2.64 billion Christians worldwide. One out of every three people on earth identifies with Christ. Let me say that again. One out of every three people on earth identifies with Christ. That's something to celebrate. Amen. And you might say, yeah, but they're not in our denomination. They're not. But they identify with Christ. He can work with that, right? So I think that's something we can celebrate. Africa is home to over 750 million Christians, and I had to check these statistics a few different ways, adds about 50,000 new believers per day on average. 50,000 new believers in Africa per day, that's amazing. Asia now has over 400 million believers, and the gospel is spreading fastest in countries like China, India, and Indonesia, despite the restrictions in those various countries. In Iran, the Christian population is growing at one of the fastest rates in the world, estimated at over 1 million believers from just a few hundred in 1979. So since 1979, you went from a few hundred believers to a million. That's God is working. God is moving. It's amazing. In China, projections suggest there may be over 100 million Christians by the year 2030, more than any other country. Sub-Saharan Africa has seen Christianity grow from 9% of its population in 1900 to nearly 60% today, people that identify with Jesus. And the Middle East and North Africa, long considered closed regions, are seeing significant underground house church movements, reports of dreams and visions leading people to Christ. 4 days ago, I was actually in North Africa, in a closed country, 4 days ago. And it was really inspiring talking to these local believers, people who are putting their lives on the line And these are areas and these are countries that you're not allowed to share your faith. And if you do, bad things happen. And these are people that are saying, we want to follow Jesus despite our comfort, despite what might happen to us. And speaking with a couple of brothers who, one, it was the son of an imam and came to Christ through a vision and a dream. And then another one, a younger guy who's in law school, he had been contemplating joining ISIS just for purpose and ended up researching it, decided, I think there are too many holes in this, I'll be an atheist. So he became an atheist. Then he said, I think there are too many holes in that, and really just sought, and he said he kind of fumbled through a prayer, and God gave him a vision, he and his friend, and it was the same dream they had that night that brought them to Jesus. And now they're bringing people, local believers, to Christ. They've baptized 32 people in this one small country that is completely closed over the past year. It's phenomenal. The number 32 for us in America doesn't seem as much. That is enormous for a country like this. It's amazing. God is doing amazing things. And we're seeing all across the world, we're seeing various areas. So I want to look at one Bible story that you all have heard and just relate it to where we are in our current state of expectation. It's from Acts 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. We can look at the past and see the faithfulness of God and what he's doing. We can look at what God is doing in our present day, and we can say, God, we expect good things. We expect to be used by you for your honor and for your glory. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a Christian. So expectation grows when we recognize that God is not distant. He's moving right here, right now. So we're going to go into another time of worship, and I invite you to stand. This is an opportunity for us to really pray and allow our hearts to connect with the Lord. So I invite you to stand. We're going to sing, and I love this chorus, he's faithful through the generations. So why would he fail now? And the answer is, he won't. Let's sing it.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad when I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus. And he's never let.
wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you.
in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
You may be seated.
Church, do you believe that? That God is at work today. We hear about what he's doing all around the world, but he's doing it here too. Even in a post-Christian culture where people say, like, I don't know about this God thing, we are seeing God work in amazing ways. And our young people and people that have been on the margin, on the fringe for a long time, he's at work changing lives. Can we be a part of what he's doing? Like, are we even aware of where he's moving and working in our lives? And so we're going to take a minute to pray. You can stay standing or you can sit. But let's just ask the Lord, God, where are you at work in my life right now? Where are you at work in my workplace, my neighborhood, my family, and how can I join in with that? And let's just take a minute to listen for what God might want to say to us. And as you sit, if he just suddenly brings to mind a certain face of somebody in your life, or he brings a certain scripture to mind, or a certain, just a word of some kind, really take that in and say, could this be where God is speaking and he wants me to join in? And then just pray, God, I'm available. What do you want to do? And so let's take a moment to pray. And now let's bring before the Lord any needs that we have. So there might be things that are physical needs, you have a need for healing or for a relationship to be healed, or for God to meet you emotionally in some way, or to make a way with a job or with a diagnosis that you've gotten, whatever it might be. Let's just bring those things before the Lord and ask him to move. Lord, we come to you as a God who is a wonder-working God, a God who's alive and active in our lives and in the world around us, and that we trust that the things we sang about in that song are things that you really are doing today, and things that you want to do in our lives and through our lives, and things that you want to continue to do in the world around us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would work mightily in Jesus' name, that you would heal people of cancer and of diseases, that you would heal people from broken relationships, from depression and anxiety. Would you heal people who feel like they're hopeless and they have nowhere to go? Would you show them that Jesus is the way and that in Jesus is true life? God, would you do in us whatever you want to do, and let us be your hands and your feet and your mouthpieces, proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Lord, that you are alive and active and you're working in us and through us, your church. We love you, Lord. And we just invite you to do more and more in us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. We just sang, "Shout Jesus from the mountains, shout Jesus from the streets." Jesus over anxiety and fear, through power and healing. Do we believe that out of our Jesus? I think the biggest issue with expectation often in the church is that we don't have enough of it. I think we come to God and we offer, maybe lay down the things that we want or the things that we would love to see happen in our community or in our workplace or wherever it is, but not to have that level of expectation. Like, God is going to work in and through his people. And I think we've seen it over and over again. And so I would love to see us have just a spirit of expectation and just say, God, we know you have done this. We know you can do it. And we trust you with our future. As we think about expecting, I just want to read this verse from Ephesians 3. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." That's Jesus. He can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So how are we going to do this? How do we step into this expectation? I think there are a number of ways. You could probably come up with some as well. But I think one of the ways that we've already talked about is through his people. I think there are two ways to look at the mission of God. One is an active way and one is a passive way. And I think God is calling us to the active version of that. So not to come and to receive or come and hear or come and learn. There's an expectation that we learn, but God calls us, Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach the good news, make disciples, teach them everything I've called you to do. That is an active posture of expectation of, I am going to move in and step in. So I ask you today, what are some areas in your life where you could be moving forward? So I think the first way that we can expect God to move is through his people. And so there may be some people, some interactions you've had at work or at school or even in the lobby or in the parking lot. And those are opportunities for you to really become the hands and feet of Jesus. The second way, I think, is through his word. We are, week by week, we've been hearing from different messages about the new things that God has done in Scripture. And if you don't have a regular time with the Lord opening the Bible, I encourage you to do that. That is a way, you know, the Bible is described as being living and active. And that is not just a book that you read, but it is something that will transform us from the inside out. So I encourage you, engage in that, step into that. We've entered a time of worship and prayer here today, but that's something that we can do all week long. And so I encourage you to step into, like, who do you want me to pray for? Who can I intercede for? Who would I love to see come into the kingdom that I interact with every week and I've just never had the opportunity? God, make the opportunity and then expect that he's going to do that because he will. And then the next way is through his presence. And through his presence, the Holy Spirit, as we see in Ephesians 5, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are called to really follow his Spirit's leading. So when you aren't sure what to do, you pray and you ask, Lord, give me your spirit, give me your presence. We're going to be entering into a new series next week. Pastor Tim is going to start us on a journey through John 15 and some other spots in the book of John. But John 15 specifically is about the Holy Spirit and seeking the presence. So as we think about that, as we seek, what do you want for us, Lord? I pray that we take an active posture into the expectation of God in this next chapter. You know, we've looked at the past, we've looked at the present, and we're looking to the future and to see what God can do in and through his people. I'm just very excited about it. But I encourage you, you know, take time to pray, and maybe this is the time right now to pray like, Lord, what do you have for me in my next step? What is my next step? And we're going to do one more song, and it is a song that's going to talk about that God is up to something good. So I'm excited to celebrate with this. So I invite you to stand for this closing song. Let's sing together.
Something good.
Amen. He is always up to something good. Thank you so much for being here today. There's a group of folks who would love to pray with you. They're going to come down front here. And today actually is our time where we have elders in the prayer room as well. The little double doors over there to your right. And thank you if you are regularly giving to Grace Church. Everything that we've talked about today, you are a part of that. We are so grateful that you do that. That helps us to continue doing the ministry and continuing moving where God asks us to. I want to say three short announcements. Next Sunday, again, Pastor Tim will be here. In the evening, we're going to have an installation service we've talked about. So we invite you to come to that installation service. Don't forget, November 7th and 8th is the Christmas craft show. It is wild here. It is full. It's an amazing time. They're looking for soup, so you can look in the bulletin for that. They're looking for soup. And also tonight is our congregational meeting. So you're all invited to come. Only members are able to vote. We're going to vote on a couple things, but only members are able to vote. But everybody's welcome. We'll be gathering together tonight at 6 o'clock. So thank you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's seek that expectation. We'll see you next week. God bless.